This week's Cotton Newsline is Five Cuts. All cuts are Bruce Knight, former chief of the National Resource Conservation Service. Cut 1, coming in 3, 2, 1.
Well, for cotton farmers, primary options are going to come in a couple of broad categories. First are those programs that, I nickname them fix-it programs. The Environmental Quality Incentives Program, the Wildlife Habitat Incentives Program, that help you with a very specific conservation practice on your farm that you may want to do. Building terraces, land leveling, improving irrigation efficiency, integrated pest management. Those things that are very targeted. They're the largest programs. They also have the largest backlog. Then you have the programs that are a little newer. We're only in the couple of years into what is now known as the Conservation Stewardship Program. This program is intended to reward leading-edge conservationists. These are for the folks who have already done some of these targeted things on their operation and now want to do a whole farm approach to conservation, and so that's CSP. Then there's a basket of things that are easement programs that help protect open space or a particular aspect of land protection, and you see that with the Forest Reserve Program, the Wetlands Reserve Program, the Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program, purchasing development rights or building easements.
Cut 2, coming in 3, 2, 1.
So EQIP, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, that is quite often used to do things like rehabilitate a feedlot or to change an irrigation system. That caps out under normal circumstances at $300,000 over 6 years in time. Now that's a 50 to 75% cost share. So that represents a significant investment from both Uncle Sam and from the individual farmer, because it's a partnership there. Then you've got a separate distinct payment limit for the Conservation Reserve Program. If you're putting land into CRP, another payment limit associated with CSP. And so each of these programs has a different payment limit. Some of the programs have slightly different eligibility for participation as well.
Cut 3, coming in 3, 2, 1.
There are opportunities for very large farms. There are no minimum acreage requirements. So even small hobby farms, minimal acreages, have opportunities to participate in these programs, but so many of the conservation programs are also very scalable. You know, if you're doing work on transition to no-till, it has a decided difference on 5,000 acres versus 50 acres. So there's little in their way by acreage restrictions, but there are priorities that also shift based off of acres as well. And priorities, and this is a key thing in understanding conservation programs, priorities change and vary from state to state.
Cut 4, coming in 3, 2, 1.
The other thing is, get to know your district conservationist and the people you're going to be working with. The other thing is, know and understand what those local priorities are for conservation. So if you're wanting to submit an application to do a practice that is a low priority in a program like EQIP that has a backlog of hundreds of contracts in your particular county, I'm sorry to say that contract's probably not going to be funded. But if, on the other hand, you know the priorities in that area and you modify your conservation plan to dovetail with those priorities, you can greatly improve the odds of being accepted.
Cut 5, coming in 3, 2, 1.
Now, because of the way in the last, probably 10 or 15 years, production agriculture and wildlife production have been coming closer and closer together. State wildlife agencies and game agencies can be an important partner for many farmers across the country. Another big partner in many parts of the country, especially in the Delta, is Ducks Unlimited, Delta Wildlife, because of that work, especially as it pertains to wetlands restoration and habitat enhancements that can go on for winter duck and goose habitat. And so the message here is that there's a number of resources that you can go to. It's not just USDA.